Thank you, Dan. You know, and I greet all the rest of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I say, one of the things that guides the thing I'm going to talk about this evening is I run into a person that was talking to me quite a bit about what was going to happen ahead of us. And then we got to the place where the Lord was going to come back and he was wondering about the ones that were caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air when the Lord Jesus came in his glory. What happened to all the rest of those people? And it didn't dawn on me what he had missed for a little while. Fact is, it didn't dawn on me until I got home. So we're going to read about that a little bit tonight because one of the things I'm feel sure that most of you are similar to me. You've heard about this part of the thing all your life almost, and it startles you when you run into somebody that's been around a while and still don't know, for instance, the reason why the pyramids in Egypt were made to stand the threat of first water and then fire. And the fact that when it really comes down to it, when the Lord says that he's going to spare his people, even to the point that he's going to destroy the wicked by fire. Well, there's all kinds of ways he can do that. But if you'll note this evening when we get through reading, you'll find that I'm talking about the passing away, the rolling together as a scroll that this earth that we now live in is going to be. It will be burned by fire. It will melt with fervent heat. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story probably. I hope I'm not boring you too much with this. But I'd like to start off with the thing that Messiah asked his people . Well, I'll start before that. He's talking to his people about what the angel has told him. That's what I want to start off with. And I'll start off on I'll start at verse 50 on page 212 in the Book of Mormon, the first chapter of Messiah. Behold, you have called me your king, and if I, whom you call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another? And behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet hath been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, oh, how had you ought to thank your heavenly king? I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess, to that God who hath created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and hath caused that you should rejoice, and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if you should serve him who hath created you from the beginning, and art preserving you from day to day, by lending you breath, that you can live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he hath promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. Now I'm going to turn to verse 119 in this same chapter on page 218 and read this. And it's a thing that I think all of you here will immediately realize what I'm saying, but I'm not sure in our society I would run into very many people that would really realize this. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But then there's this three-letter word called but. If he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off a natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And that's one of the things, in a way, in different words, our speaker this morning alluded to some things that would happen for other reasons besides punishment, to teach you, to help you develop yourself into the kind of person that he wants to see you be. And that's what happens when you turn or try to turn aside from this human carnal individual that has become sensual, etc. And this happened to him. He wasn't created that way. The potential was there, but he wasn't created that way. But it's odd that the first thing that happened to them, and that it should show us as a people, as the family of Adam, that this one thing is at the bottom of most everything that would pull us away from God, and it's called a lie. Satan just put a word in and made Eve think that this was a desirable thing to do. And she did it. And it was what we call the original sin. Okay, but that being true, now these people of Messiah, he asked them, what they would do. I'll read the beginning of verse 1 in chapter 3 of this book. And it came to pass when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, Yea, we believe all the words which thou hast spoken unto us. All cried with one voice. You know, that's a way of saying they didn't all sound alike necessarily, but they had the same response. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us. And one of the unique things, it's pretty universal when this happens, at least for the moment that it happens, but it stands out. The Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestation of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come, and were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. Well, there's a thing that seems to be always present. And I know some of you have experienced it like I have. That when the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is this calmness and relaxation, at least to me, that you're sure of what you're hearing and where you stand. You're sure that this is the Spirit of God because it makes you know and feel very sure that you're hearing and believing the truth. And the truth, one of the things we have to do when we believe the truth is to try to keep the commandments of God. And I'd like to read from the 14th chapter of St. John. I won't read all of it that I usually read, but because I'm not interested in presenting as much, but I think maybe that I have missed getting it across to some, because one of the things I have discovered, and I'm sure you all realize this too, if you go to tell somebody about the gospel, you can talk to them until you're black in the face, as the old expression goes, and it won't move them unless the Holy Spirit is there. When it's there and the individuals involved are willing to let it into their heart, it changes them. It changes their desire. It changes their outlook on life. And one of the other reasons that I read this whole thing to you tonight is that I want us to realize not to get discouraged because all the things that we have a view of will happen haven't happened and aren't happening as quickly as we think they should have. Don't think God's missing the way, because whatever He was going to do, it will be done. Whether you see it or understand it or not, His will be done. Verse 15 here in the 14th chapter of St. John says, If you love me, keep my commandments. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And then He makes a promise to us. And that promise is important. Because these people here in Messiah's day, or King Benjamin's rather, I don't know whether they realized all this or not, but it happened to them. They tried keeping the commandments. They tried believing what King Benjamin was telling them that the angel had told him that he should pass on to them. And the Holy Spirit bore its witness of its truth. But Jesus has made a promise to us, and it's very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus told us he would do that. So he can assure us of the truth. With this thought in our minds, now I'm going to turn to the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi. Oh, one other point I wanted to bring out. In chapter, in the 4th book of Nephi, verse 13, page 682. It talks about how the people did after Christ was there and taught them. And they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and in meeting together both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. Now, this is one of the things that Christ had taught them. And it's important that we remember that. And the reason I say that is because there are a few people, maybe not here, that you'll run into that feel like the Old Testament should be thrown out. But if you go through that part of the Bible, you will realize there are a bunch of commandments. And they are commandments that God gave to his people. And they didn't end. They were not fulfilled. They're fulfilled every time you keep them. They're a measure of where we stand. Now I'll go to 3 Nephi, chapter 9. I won't read the whole thing because it's a fairly long prophecy, and it's going to be a little beyond chapter 9, but I want to cover the territory that goes all the way, because in this prophecy and the dissertation of the things that Jesus taught these people, he gives them a whole description of what was expounded to them that they might know of all the things from the beginning to the time that he came in his glory and the earth was destroyed. That's what I'm going to read to you. But there's more in it than you realize. I'll start reading at verse 95 on page 663. It says, "For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be a great and marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them which will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them." And before this, it talks about a couple of signs that were to be given. One of the signs was that this record was to be given to the Gentiles. And did you ever stop to think that really the Gentiles had not a clue where these American Indians came from until after this church and this book was brought forth and restored the knowledge of what was in it, and all were restored, just like the right to represent God and be one of his representatives, the authority of the priesthood. They didn't know that. And that's one of the signs that was to be given, that this was going to come forth, this record, and we're going to be given to the Gentiles. And that would let them know who they were dealing with, because they didn't know up to then. I would hope that they wouldn't have mistreated them as terribly as they did at times. But as you look back on all the things that have happened in this time frame, most of the things is the greed of man and his ability to deceive others and rob the Indians and the people of the things that they were trying to set to the Indians. This all plays into it, and it's even there now. Not just to them, but this is one of the signs that when these things came to the Gentiles, they finally could say, there was a record that told that these things were going to come to their attention, and when it did, that they would know who these other remnant of Israel were. I don't think some of them ever have realized it yet, but we do. And the fact that it's written here is remarkable to me. And another sign he gives to the remnant of Israel. He tells them that when this record is brought to their attention to show them who they are and how God tried to work with them, that's a sign to them that the work of the Father to do his work of gathering all of Israel back to the lands of their inheritance has commenced. It's begun. The problem is with us, being human that we are, we want this to happen really quick. And that old saying, and I'll probably misquote it, and forgive me if I do, that the mill wheels of God's grinding works exceeding fine, but exceeding slow. We have to know that. So I'll begin again at verse 95. It says, "For in that day, for my sake, shall the Father work a work, which shall be great and marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them which will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand, therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Yet I will heal him, for I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, which is am Jesus Christ, which the Father will cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto him power, that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among my people, which are of the covenant. And my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, because, or rather, except they repent, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing image is out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. It shall come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, O house of Israel, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. All this hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. But God has promised that in the midst of this, that if we serve him, he will watch over us. We must believe that. We must understand that his power and the way he can do it will be marvelous in our eyes. Because all of us are the ones that are trying to commit ourselves to being tools in the hands of the Lord, not only with our own families, but anybody else that we can influence, that they might know the true sayings of God and the true way of life in which they should live. I'm going to go right on now. But if they will repent and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant, and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city, which shall be called a New Jerusalem. Now we all know that, and we've had it spread for us many times, but the next point is another thing that they're going to assist in, which is beyond the building of the city. And there had to be already part of this house of Israel gathered in before the city got built. There had to be other things happen, these other things that are written here. They had to happen first before the city could be built. And you remember, if you believe the revelations, and I know sometimes we don't, but it says that that building of that city would begin at the house of the Lord. Well, that being true, this place that we are in here, one that has been dedicated to the Lord. And by the way, I marvel myself when I come here and nobody else is here. I come up to this room and I realize I'm not alone. This is truly a dedicated place. And I know we don't always do everything God would want here, but he is here and he is watching. And then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people. Yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare the way whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name. And then, and as you hear this going through here, you have to realize this is Jesus' name saying these things. He's telling us what is going to happen, and then they'll be able to call on the Father in his name. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations in preparing the way whereby people may be gathered home to the land, or thereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. And they shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go out in haste nor by flight, for I will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be their rearward. And then shall that which is written come to pass, saying, O Zion, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtain of their habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker, thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Mormon should no more go over the earth, so high have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together against thee, not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall revile against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And now behold, I say unto you that ye had ought to search these things. Yea, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently, for greater the words of Isaiah. For surely he spake as touching all things concerning my people, which are of the house of Israel. Therefore it must needs be that he must speak also to the Gentiles. And all things that he spake hath been and shall be, even according to the words which he spake. Therefore give heed to my words, write the things which I have told you. And according to the time and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. And whosoever will hearken unto my words, and repenteth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things. And now it came to pass, when Jesus had said these words, he saith unto them again, after he had expounded all the scriptures unto them, which they had received, he saith unto them, behold, other scriptures I would that ye should write, that ye have not. And it came to pass that he saith unto Nephi, bring forth the record which ye have kept. And when Nephi brought forth the record and laid them before him, he cast his eyes upon them and saith, verily I say unto you, I commanded my servant Samuel, a Lamanite, that he should testify unto this people, that at the day that the Father should glorify his name in me, that there were many saints which should rise from the dead and should appear unto many and should minister unto them. And he saith unto them, were it not so? And his disciples answered him and said, yea, Lord, Samuel did prophesy according to thy words, and they were all fulfilled. And Jesus saith to them, howbeit that ye have not written this thing, that many saints did arise and appear unto many and did minister unto them. And it came to pass that Nephi remembered that this thing had not been written, and it came to pass that Jesus commanded that it should be written. Therefore it was written according as he commanded. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that he commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which he should tell unto them. And it came to pass after that they were written, he expounded them. And these are the words which he did tell unto them, saying, thus saith the Father unto Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord their offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you into judgment. I will be swift to witness against the sorcerers, and against adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppose the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are accursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for Ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what doth it profit that we have kept the ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, them that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that will burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall cleave them, rather leave them, neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I doeth this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember thee the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, it came to pass when Jesus had told these things, he expounded them unto the multitude, and he did expound all things unto them, both great and small. And he saith, these scriptures which ye had not with you, the Father commanded that I should give unto you. For it was wisdom in him that they should be given unto future generations. And he did expound all things, even from the beginning until the time that he should come in his glory. Yea, even all things which should come upon the face of the earth, even until the elements should melt with fervent heat, and the earth should be wrapped together as a scroll, and the heavens and the earth should pass away. And even unto the great and last day, when all people and all kindreds and all nations and all tongues, shall stand before God to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, to the resurrection of everlasting life, and if they be evil, to the resurrection of damnation, being on a parallel, one on the one hand, and the other on the other hand, according to the mercy and the justice and the holiness which is in Christ, which was before the world began. So we see here, we are in a season of the year. And we should talk about Christ. He came and spent his life, and this is part of what he did that I'm reading about here. But as we think about this Christ, in the end even, he gives us a way to reach out and obtain mercy so that our sins may be forgiven, so that we may be able to be a child of his, and being a child of his, we can be purified, even as he is pure. So these are the things he's asked of us to do, but he's told us to just rest our minds in the process of this. that as this earth passes away, everything that is in it that didn't get caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air will be destroyed. It'll be burned up. And then there will be a second resurrection coming. So we need to realize there is no place in God's word where he does not consider and leave a place of understanding for us so that we know what is going to happen. But I would like to call to your attention in what seemed like maybe the first of what I read, where it says, "And I will cut off the witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayer. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lyings, and deceivings, and envyings, and strife, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms shall be done away." It tells you this. I would like to pass along another thing to you and hope it finds a place in your heart and never gets taken out. There is another promise that he makes, that if you really make the effort to do these things and remove these things from you yourself, he will be the one that prays the Father, that the Father would send the Holy Ghost to you, that he will remain with you, that if you will follow his biddings, it will be like hearing the word of the Son of God in your ears as it tells you what to do and furnishes you the strength and determination to divide the good from the bad and choose the good. I'd like to offer you this promise. This is what the Lord Jesus said to us, all of us. He didn't just say it to those people back there. He didn't just say it to the ones we call the house of Israel. Because in several places here, he mentions, he's talking about the children of the covenant. And I don't know whether it has come to your mind or not, but I'd like to place it there now, if I may. And you consider how truthful it is that you make your, when you join this church, we call it joining this church. But whose name are you baptized in? Who do you look to have your sins forgiven? Who is the one that you cry out to and put his name on the bottom of the message you cry out to the Father? It's this Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the one. Not only are we going to be able to have a season here while we remember his birth, no, you can say in your heart, he wasn't born this day. I don't care. It happened. This is an event that we celebrate. It's an event of the Son of God coming, of learning how to be an adult human being, passing through all the difficulties that he goes through, suffering the pains of that growth, and then suffering all the temptations that mankind has, but not doing those things. Some people have misunderstood that when you're tempted, that means you do it. No, it doesn't. You can be tempted to do it, but know it's a bad thing and turn aside and never do it. And that's what Jesus did. And he's asked us to be his followers, his disciples, his children. I would like to beg you for your prayers that I can truly be that. And I'll be praying for you that you can do the same thing. Because I have been told that if we do that, when it comes time for us to do some of these other things that people say we ought to be doing, he will tell us. We will know, because his word will come to us, that Holy Ghost. An angel, my book says that an angel, if you are fortunate enough to have an angel come to you and tell you what you ought to do, like he did to King Benjamin, he speaks by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, he speaks the words of Christ. Christ is a carrier. The one we call on the Father in care of. He is our advocate with the Father. So let's remember all of these things and know that God didn't forget anything. And that's the thing that startled me in this discussion that I had had, even my own forgetfulness, because immediately I didn't tell him. So, pray for me and I will pray for you. And thank you so much for coming tonight and listening. I guess as the time goes by, you become more precious to me. Kind of like that beautiful wife I got back there. We love each other. And that's the way those people back there in King Benjamin, they felt. Thank you so much.
I'm thankful for the message that we've received tonight. I ask that you would, if you don't already have a bulletin, pick one up and review the activities that are coming up. And we'll look forward to seeing you Wednesday evening. Our closing hymn is number 105, number 105.
Thank you.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we've had to be in your house this day, to sing praises to your holy name, to study your word, to hear your word opened up to us through your servants. And dear Lord, we beg the presence of your Spirit to accompany us as we leave this place this day. That these things that we have heard and studied and learned might be driven deeply into our hearts and our souls and our minds, that we might be different people, that we might be closer to thee, that we might walk that walk that you have laid before us, not looking to the left or the right, but keeping our eyes solely on thee, on that straight and narrow path, and that goal that you have set for us. And so, dear Lord, once more, we are thankful for your love, for your mercy, for your word, for your Son. We pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.